Hello, welcome to the RSO podcast. My name is Margot Stedman. I am the Education and Community Engagement Director here at the Rockford Symphony Orchestra. And Julie Thomas, our Executive Director, will be taking over as a guest host of today's podcast to talk about our socially distanced concerts that we presented at the Senesipi Music Shell on September 12th and 13th. But before I hand it over to her, I have a few questions for her of my own. Welcome, Julie.
Hi.
So as we're getting started on this, I wanted to ask you first, why did the RSO make the effort to do these concerts?
Well, that's a great question. There are so many orchestras throughout the country who have decided that they aren't going to perform live for the first half of the season and some for the whole year. Others are just having virtual experiences, but none of those really seemed like a good fit for us. We really felt strongly that as presenting live music is the most important component of our mission, that we needed to make every effort to do so. Obviously, it needed to be safely and within reason so that we weren't taking off on more than we could do. But our patrons expressed their desire to see live music again, and that was really the driving force. And we were tasked with how to do that safely. Our patrons made a commitment to us through buying tickets and through a subscription. So we also felt very strongly that we needed to fulfill that commitment.
So I know we'll talk in a minute about logistically what happened once we decided to be at Senesipi, but how did you decide that that was the right place for us to be?
Well, over the summer, we did a couple surveys to our subscribers and to our general patron base about comfort level in coming to concerts. And overwhelmingly, people told us that they would feel more comfortable attending a concert in an outdoor venue. So that was what we charged ourselves with, finding a concert in late summer we decided would be at a time where people were starting to get out again and feel more comfortable with social gatherings. So we looked for a venue that would be able to accommodate a large crowd that could be socially distanced. And the Rockford Park District was very welcoming and very gracious host in having us at the Music Shell. They really bent over backwards to make sure we had everything that we would need to present a safe concert, but also to more than safe, to present a fun concert where people really had a great time. And I think absolutely that happened. So once we made the commitment that we were confident to move forward with presenting a socially distanced outdoor concert, we were tasked with figuring out how to make that happen. And Margot, you were really involved in the process of creating a seating chart so that we would make sure our patrons were seated socially distanced. Can you share a little bit about how that happened and how you determined what the guidelines were so that we could present this?
Well, the state of Illinois, luckily, was very specific with their guidelines for performing arts events and what we had to follow. They did webinars that were really helpful answering questions that we had. So for us being outside at Senesipi, we could have 20% capacity, which meant 200 people per performance. We knew that out the door, that we had to figure out a way to fit 200 people there safely. So we went over there with a tape measure and measured how long the benches were, how far apart they were, sketched it all out in a notebook, and tried to take into account accessibility for our patrons, how they might get up and down the stairs. It's a tiered venue if you weren't there with lots of stairs. Where were the restrooms? What did we need to take into consideration for all of our patrons' comforts? And after we had done that, we kind of mapped out zones and made a seating chart so that we could figure out how to tell people where to go when they got to this large outdoor venue. And that seemed to work really well. I will say that getting everyone safely into the venue and seated was a huge team effort. It was staff, but it was also volunteers, the ushers, and the patrons themselves. They were so wonderful at following directions and being flexible and listening, and we really couldn't have done it without everyone being there. Our ushers, dozens of ushers volunteered. They came early. Audra Fries on our staff did a great training with them. We had Matt Gushel also help, and there was a lot of work, but I have to say we were so pleased with how it turned out.
For sure. It was really such a streamlined process that took many, many hours behind the scenes to have happen, but it really worked really well. So, Margot, thank you to you for all the work you did in creating that, you know, we're used to performing at the Coronado and we have it down to a really good routine. And so this has been an interesting adjustment for us to change venues and to develop new protocols so that we can present a concert and then add on the need to socially distance. And it's been quite a challenge, but the team was definitely up to the task. So the other significant task, though, is for any concert is making sure that we have an orchestra. And in addition to the audience being socially distanced, the orchestra did as well. It is my pleasure to introduce John Floater. John is on the artistic team and serves as our operations and our personnel manager. So his main responsibilities include making sure that we have a full roster of musicians to play each of our concerts. He also does some behind the scenes work from an operations and a production standpoint to make sure that everything flows really well and that the orchestra members and our music director have everything that they need to perform for our concert. So one of the reasons we wanted to make sure that we included John on this podcast was because there was so much that he had to do to make our concert at Sinisippi Music Shell flow as well as possible. This was a little bit different experience for us because it was a socially distanced concert. So John, what was one of your priorities when we first started talking about having this concert and the need to hire musicians for a socially distanced concert? What was the first priority when you started the hiring process?
Well, the first thing I had to keep in mind is that we need to keep all of the musicians safe, everyone safe in this kind of a performance. And I also had to make sure that the musicians were assured that we were doing everything we could to mitigate the effects of transmission of coronavirus. So we took all the precautions we could and tried to make it as safe as possible. Also had to follow the guidelines that were from the research that was brought out through the League of American Orchestras and the American Federation of Musicians, and the different organizations had a lot of research to back up what were the safest ways to go about having a concert. So since we were having some wind players who would not be able to wear masks while they were playing, we would have to have shields in front of them. So what we did is I created some 4x4 foot plexiglass shields that would be in front of each of the players that were playing wind instruments so that when they had to play that their exhaling would not go any further than the shield, protecting the other players.
Excellent. And how far apart did you have to space all of the musicians so that they were in a safe setup?
Well, so the guidelines said 6 feet apart. And if you're playing a trumpet, for instance, you would need to have as much as 9 feet. So a little bit more distance in front of the brass instruments. So we had to measure out exactly how far apart we could get everybody on the stage at Sinisippi. And as it turned out, we just filled that entire stage with that much distancing. We couldn't put any more people on that stage.
Well, well done. It really was. It was interesting to see how a stage would look like socially distanced, and it really looked like it was a full orchestra because of the way you laid it out. But what other impacts were there? I know that normally, for example, our musicians tend to share music stands. How was that impacted for this concert?
Right. So there are, normally in the string sections, you have two musicians on a stand. This is also helpful in that one of them gets to turn pages just in case the notes go to the end of the page, and at least someone covers all of the notes. But we wouldn't be able to do that in this case. Luckily, we were able to cover things like page turns with extra copies and things. But since everybody's a little bit farther apart, it's a little bit harder to hear each other. So it's one of those situations where there isn't really a solution other than you need to just try harder and hear each other. So keeping the ensemble listening across the orchestra becomes a little bit more difficult in this situation. But we also had to reconfigure some of the sections too, because normally when you have two people sharing a stand, it's a given that you're going to have them doubled up like that. And we had to do some things like take the cellos, three cellists in a row rather than in their normal shape, or sometimes you would have violas coming somewhat into their section and they would be pulled apart a little bit. So we had to make some accommodations to make sure that each of the sections could hear each other a little bit better.
Did the rehearsal Was anything done differently in rehearsal so that it would help from a standpoint of having some of those limitations of hearing one another? Was there a different way to rehearse?
I think we really just had to go ahead with what we had. And I know that a lot of musicians did have to move a little bit this way or that way or find a way to hear whatever instrument they might need to hear at a particular point in the music. It's always a little bit different with every piece, and there may be some point where one musician here needs to hear another section a little bit more at one point. So I know that all those little tiny micro accommodations that have to happen, I might not be aware of them happening, but I do know that they are going on.
So I noticed that there were microphones. Was each section or each instrument mic'd during the concert to help from an audience standpoint to make sure that the sound was blended?
Yes. Well, since we couldn't put a full string section on that stage, it was important that we have some microphones in the string sections. But there were microphones on all of the sections. But mostly it's a matter of balancing it out because we did have a full set of winds. And to sort of compete with that sort of balance, that we need to have a little bit more help for the strings. So there was a little bit of that for the audience's benefit. So it was often hard to tell exactly what the balance was going to be like on the stage when we're dealing with microphones.
Sure, sure. Well, that's great. I think that it seemed from my perspective that the orchestra adapted so well, and definitely this was a first time out for us. And so having you and the other individuals on the production team be so flexible made an incredible difference. Were there any other behind the scenes things that happened with you or with Kurt, our stage manager, that allowed us to kind of accommodate for the special needs of presenting a socially distanced concert?
Well, I have to say, since we were outdoors, we were watching the weather every second.
Yes.
And it was really a problem that our string players were the ones out front getting just, and luckily it was no more than a tiny little drizzle. We had to stop a couple of times, but wooden instruments are very sensitive to a little bit of water, but we lucked out. We were able to play 3 full concerts and pretty good weather.
Yes.
But what
certainly makes us appreciate having a wonderful venue like the Coronado Theater and not having to worry about the weather and having plenty of space on stage. So kudos to all of you for making that possible. I know that I heard from many members of the audience that they so appreciated the concert. But what was the feedback from the musicians?
Well, I was happy to get emails forwarded to me from patrons that had come to the concert, but I was even more surprised. I got a lot of emails from the musicians themselves thanking me for getting such a great experience to play again. I mean, it was really kind of an emotional event for a lot of us to actually just play in an ensemble again. So on both sides of the stage, in the audience and the stage, people were really, really happy to have that concert. So we really can't wait till things get back to normal.
Yes, yes. We all feel that way too. Well, we know that we're going to be presenting at least 2 more socially distanced concerts, one in October and then also the Holiday Pops in December. So I know you and the team are starting to plan for that. Are there any little tidbits that you want to share with our audience about how we will be structuring that or anything a little bit different as compared to the Sinisippi concerts? There are a little bit smaller ensembles, I know that, because we're indoors.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's coming up next is our concerts in October. They're all strings, and since string players don't have to play, they do have to breathe, but they're not breathing into an instrument. They can play with masks on. So we don't have to worry so much about having all of the plexiglass shields and all of that stuff, but we'll maintain social distancing. But with a string orchestra concert, we are able to present that just simply. Everybody will be on their own stands and have to deal with their own page turns, of course. But it's very doable. And also being indoors, this sort of favors the strings a little bit more too. So in somewhat smaller spaces, this should work out very well. The one that's coming up in just a few weeks here.
Yeah, just the end of October. That's fantastic. Well, John, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We really appreciate everything that you do for the orchestra, and we will be seeing you very soon.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you. That was so interesting. Before we wrap up, is there any other part of the process, Julie, that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I think it's really important to mentioned that we worked closely with the Winnebago County Health Department, and they were incredibly responsive. And part of what was really gratifying was that their goal was to help us create as normal of an experience as possible. We're in such challenging times right now, and I think it was great that that organization was understood that it was important for people to have regular, everyday experiences again. And so it was really a big part of making this a successful event. But I will say that, you know, oftentimes since March, it feels like we've been taking two steps forward and one step back. Everything that we did to plan the 2021 season, which was Steve Larson's final season, has had to be set aside and recreated. And that goes from programming to patron services to altering the concert schedules. And as we just talked about, to finding different venues. And the RSO artistic and admin team has had to shift and make adjustments for months since our last concert at the Coronado. And quite frankly, we will probably be making more adjustments before we return to a more traditional concert schedule. So I just want to say that, you know, I think we're grateful, so grateful to our patrons and our musicians for their flexibility, for their continued commitment to the RSO. I've been just blown away by how many people have called and asked how we're doing and are anxious to return to concerts again when it's safe to do so, and have given very generously to our annual fund and to our new Larson Legacy campaign. And all of those things will make a difference so that we are prepared to go back to what we hope will be a traditional normal schedule back at our beloved Coronado Theater. So more to come on that, but thank you so much for joining us. And Margo, I'll turn it back to you.
Well, thank you. I think this was hopefully something different from our usual podcast, but hopefully something that you all as listeners found interesting. And thanks to Julie and to John Floater for coming on and sharing their parts of the process. And I hope that you all will continue listening to our podcast. We look forward to sharing another episode with you soon.